Now, to kick off, I want everyone to think about a simple person, one person in your life who's left a positive impression on you. For me, there is one prominent musician whose words and lyrics articulate things that I can never articulate, but it's wonderful because he expresses great love and sadness, you know, all in the one breath. But as you think about that person that's so important to you, I want to run a few questions past you. How much time have they spent with you? How well do they know you? Are they someone who has been through what you're going through or something that you're about to go through? Could you trust them with your life? Could you trust them with your heart? And finally, how important do you think you are to them? See, when you start to really dig and get past what's on the outside, sometimes you realise that people aren't always everything you first believe them to be. And so I want to point out that no matter who leaves an impression on you, that they are simply incomparable with God's interest in you and his love for you that is demonstrated in Jesus. Why Jesus? Why continue with Jesus? Weighing it up, it's a great couple of questions. And for me, it's a matter about looking at where my past, my present, my future. So where I've been, where I am now, and where I'm going. And it's amazing, you know, the older you get, and I say the older you get, not because I'm a fogey, but I feel a bit that way. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 13 or you're 40. Life just keeps ticking by, and it ticks by really fast, and things change. Lots of things change. And it's amazing how much that change affects you. Sometimes, right now for me, I think both Suzanne and I sometimes wonder, amongst all the change that's going on in our lives, with little kids and jobs and things at church and on it goes, we sometimes go, oh, we're losing track of who we are. And we're so desperate to get back to some of those small and simple things in life that brought us a lot of joy. So even amongst all the change, some things stay the same. And I'm not talking about God, even though he does stay the same. But think about it, you know. A lot stays the same, and sometimes that comforts us or it confronts us. So things like daily routine, you get up, you have a shower, or maybe you don't if you're a 14-year-old boy. You have coffee, you avoid annoying people and situations. You get dressed, you go to school or uni. What else doesn't change? Family get-togethers. Woohoo! Yeah. What about the war in the Middle East over who should control the Gaza Strip? That one will be going long past our time. What about weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, all those sorts of things? Or, hands up if this one applies to you. We promise ourselves that we'll do better, and then we don't. Okay. And like I said before, life beginning, left to right. Life beginning, life ending. Yep. So, reality can be a really daunting thing, and but then again, maybe it's just about keeping things in perspective. And I would ask you, where does Jesus fit in your life in terms of keeping things in perspective? Because some people I know are like my 2-year-old daughter, who sticks her hand up in front of her face, and people joke about this, but it's true. They stick their hands in front of their face, and they believe that while they can't see you, you can't see them. Fortunately, we all get past that and mature in life. But it's funny, when it comes to following God and including Jesus in our lives, there are a lot of people who take the same tact, you know. You either ignore it or you have to pay attention to it. And maybe the reason that we choose to ignore it is because we realise that we're kind of powerless and we don't have any control over our time or circumstances. So, coming back to the question, why Jesus and why continue with him? I want to look at three characteristics of Jesus. And has everyone got a little sermon or message outline that you... Yeah, okay. That's just going to give you a clue as to where we're at. We're probably a third of the way through, so don't nod off. The three characteristics of Jesus that make him worth including in our lives. I'm going to share from a personal perspective on these, and I'm also going to point you to some passages in Scripture that reinforce it. First of all, Jesus loves you more than anyone you will ever know. Two, Jesus is always with you. And three, Jesus will never let you down because he knows you better than yourself. One, Jesus loves you more than anyone you will know. Number two, Jesus is always with you. And thirdly, he will never let you down because he knows you better than you know yourself. From a personal perspective, looking at Jesus loving us more than anyone we will ever know, I don't know if you realize it, but Jesus loves you lots more than your family. He loves you more than your friends. He loves you more than your church. He loves you more than the government, if you can believe that. And he definitely loves you more than the people you idolize, you know, the people who are your heroes and you look up to. Now, I know his love firsthand, and I've seen how he's preserved the life of, you know, people who are really torn up. But I also know that I've made the mistake on more than a few occasions. I've looked at my life and I've gone, all this stuff is crap. All this stuff is going wrong. Where are you, God? What are you doing? If you love me so much, how can you possibly let this stuff happen to me? And I felt that way a lot as a kid. And when you read that Psalm 42 that we looked at earlier tonight, it's the same thing. There you have the psalmist who's calling out to God. He hasn't lost sight of the fact that God is his hope, but he's asking the hard questions. He says, why have you abandoned me? You know, I'm so overcome by my grief that my tears are my food. So in all this, though, even though I've forgotten that, when I have come to God and I've come to God in prayer and I've said, I'm putting it before you, Lord, I'm not in control, I have no idea what you want. I've heard him say these things to me. I know. I see the terrible stuff around you. I love you. Trust me. I will never treat you the same way. Hang in there. I'm making you to be the person that I want you to be. Love me with all of your heart. I love you with all of my heart. Don't kill yourself. I don't like it. And don't forget that all that matters is what I think of you. Now, I need to be clear. When I was a little kid, I wasn't a good reader. I'm still not a good reader, but I certainly didn't have the ability to kind of just, you know, I'm having a blue moment, so I go to the shelf and I pull a Bible off the shelf and I start to read some of my favorite verses or some of the things that would cheer me up. You just don't do that as a little kid. And if you do, and if you have that, then that's fantastic. But I certainly didn't. But what I did have was I had my voice and I had my heart, and I knew that God loved me. So that's what I brought to him. And is it true to say that Jesus' love for me was more than anyone I ever knew? Without question, yes. Without question, yes. And I'll say it to you, Jesus loves you more than anyone you will ever know. Now, there's some great references in the Bible that you can look at it in your own time. And if you've got a pen or you want to get these from me later, feel free. You know, Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about God and his care for us as a shepherd and how he carries us. In Hebrews chapter 12, it also talks about the fact that he disciplines those he loves. So when we experience, you know, tough times and we don't like what it is that's going on in our life, there's every chance that God's actually shaping you and, you know, teaching you lessons. But he only does that if he loves you. So don't forget that. But I want to draw your attention to Psalm 103, verse 10 to 12. And it says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to the way that we have abused our rights. For as high as the heavens are above the earth," which is a long way, "so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our sins from us." So, next point. Jesus is always with us. What a great characteristic. He is always with us in good and bad. He's with you when you want to give up on yourself and on everybody else. And if you felt that way, you're completely normal. And if as a Christian you continue to feel that way, you're completely normal. He's watching out for us and he keeps us safer than we might otherwise be. So I want to just give you three very simple examples of those things. He's always with us. He's with you even when you want to give up on things. And he watches out for us and keeps us safer than we might ordinarily know. So first of all, if you don't already do it, try to get in the habit of having some time with Jesus every day or God. Talk to him. Find a quiet place. You might be standing on the train station waiting for your train or whatever it happens to be. But the quieter, the better. And think about him and talk to him. And if you listen to him, my guess is he's going to talk back. Knowing that Jesus is here with me gives me the courage to tell you about him. And knowing that Jesus is here with all of us, no matter what we've done, says quite a lot about how faithful he is. Now, in my work, I've known his presence as well. I'll tell you, in the last 4 years, you guys don't know, I run a small software company. And in the last 4 years, I've had nearly had two nervous breakdowns. And most of the time it's been because I've looked months in advance from this day and I've seen no work. And I've been aware of my outgoings, how much money is going out in salaries. I've got 11 guys who work for me and it hasn't always been that many. But there have been more than a few occasions where I've thought, I don't know if I have any options. I don't have any answers, God. I'm working hard and it's not coming and I don't know what to do. And it's an awful thing to find yourself sitting in a car in some, you know, pulled off to the side of the road, just, you know, weeping, bawling your eyes out. You have no idea. It's like your whole world's crashing in. And I hope you never have to go through that. but at that point, you know, you have no other choice except to turn to God and say, "Lord, I have to trust that you have these things in hand. And I'll wait on you. I'll wait on you. I'll work hard." He says, "Work hard." You know, it's not sort of rub the genie bottle and, "What would you like? Three wishes." You know, sort of stuff. And look, by God's grace alone, the business I work for and run is still here. We've grown a little bit in size. And I guess with God's perspective, I realize that what's impossible with me is entirely possible with him. And that's a personal walk. As far as keeping us safer than we might ordinarily be, I used to, this is years back, probably, I don't know, I was probably about 19 or 20, and I used to always go on a Monday night to a friend's place, a Christian mate's friend place, and unbeknownst to me, I had glandular fever at the time, and for about 2 years, and I didn't know it, but I did go to a lot of parties where I'd fall asleep. I did go to dinner parties where I was sitting at the table and actually fell asleep at the table. You might want to ask my wife about that. She wasn't crash hot about that sort of behaviour. But anyway, I used to drive home from this guy's place, and I'd be feeling fine. And on more than a handful of occasions, I would wake up on the other side of the road or just about to launch into the gutter with a tree right in front of me, and I'd rake the steering wheel back. You can call it luck. I'll just say it was God taking care of me. So, time to look at what the Bible says. Another couple of passages that are really good but aren't on your sheet. Psalm 139 and verses 7 to 10 talks about God's presence and his protection. And so if you get a chance, have a look at that. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 is a fantastic verse that a lot of you would know. But if you don't, check it out. It's about nothing will ever separate us from God's love. And finally, I want to bring you to look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. In one verse, so much amazing stuff. It says, "Do not be afraid. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Do you realize what that means? Do not be afraid. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So we've looked at Jesus loves you more than anyone you'll ever know. Two, Jesus is always with you. And thirdly, Jesus will never let you down because he knows you better than you know yourselves. He never gives up on us. I hope that's starting to be a common theme that you're picking up on. But he seeks our intimacy with him. He wants to communicate with us better. He knows what's in your heart already. So when you bring it to him, it's not a surprise to him, but he wants you to bring it to him. Even though we constantly fail to love each other as we should and live lives of holiness and goodness, if you trust in him, if you really trust in him with your heart, and you recognize that his purpose is bigger than your own, you'll see it firsthand if you haven't already, that he will never let you down. Decisions. I've always tried to put God first in my decisions, and I gave you an example of that with my work dilemma. But he's with you, and you can include him in any and every decision. And just don't talk yourself out of including him in your decisions. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes you go, it's a non-issue. It's nothing. It's not worth bringing to God. I dare you to bring it to God. he might just have a better answer for you than your own. But it's great because we can openly and confidently approach God. So I can say to him, "Lord, what a beautiful day, gorgeous sunset. I was stoked about that surf I had at my favorite beach." Or I can go to him and I can say, "Help. I haven't slept properly in 4 weeks. I don't know how to best take care of my wife who suffers from chronic pain, and my 4-year-old son is driving me insane, and I'm losing my temper with him. What do I do?" He isn't silent. He sticks with you, and he encourages you to spend more time with him. Jesus definitely knows us better than we know ourselves, and I'm not going to share too much here because I've been going a long time, but the Bible explains it pretty clearly, and I want to give you a simple example of the way I've seen God work in my life. Instead of it being, "Nigel, go do that! Nigel, go do that!" He shuts doors on me. I go over there, and he shuts off that door, and then I go somewhere else, and he shuts that door. And gradually, you know, he like a sheep, you know, he guides me the right way. If he knows, if he left me to my own devices, I'd choose badly and I might cause irreparable damage. So as far as God knowing us better than ourselves, I want you to think about the following things. He knows what takes up the most space in your heart. Right now, he knows. Right? Is it Barbie? Probably not. You're all a bit old, although my daughter's heart is probably full of Barbie. But he knows what takes up your heart space, and he knows what we turn to for a quick fix. And we've all got them. What do we retreat to for a quick fix? Food, alcohol, bad entertainment, pornography, retail therapy, greed or fantasizing about having more, gossip, you know, just talking about other people because they've got so many issues. The list goes on. The biblical perspective shows us, though, that he not only knows us better than ourselves, he understands our pain, and he shows us a better way. He shows us a life that brings joy and appeals to us to not get involved with the things that are bad for us, the things that cause us damage and cause other people damage. Because sometimes we choose things that don't just affect us. They affect our families, our kids, our mums and dads. Okay, so to wrap up, I'm going to look at a few verses. I know you'll have, what have you got, the Hebrews and Romans passage? Is that what you got? Yeah, okay. There's a couple more. They're short, so I'm going to read them. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 says, "Before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." So if you're not sure whether to bring it to God, he already knows. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says, and this is a bit like the other Hebrews passage that we're going to wrap up with, "But for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us, all of us, then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Romans 8:28, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him." Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, why bother to continue with Jesus? If you think the older you get or the longer you're a Christian, the easier it gets, the problems just change. That's all. And sometimes they get more complicated. But it's good. It's good. He never leaves you. And I guess I just want to wrap up with a few questions, really. I think, why continue with Jesus? Who compares to him? Who is like the Lord? I say, nobody. What are your better alternatives? Realistically, what are the better alternatives? And keeping it all in perspective, Jesus, who loves you and has done so much for you, says this: eternity is long and permanent. The present is short and temporary. Everyone get that? Yeah? Right now, this will be gone, but whatever you choose will last forever. So to quote the old prince in guarding the Holy Grail in Raiders of the Last Ark or the Last Crusade, Harrison Ford, all that sort of stuff: choose wisely. Choose wisely. So if you choose Jesus, his love will never run out or end. So I'm going to share a few passages with you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 and 11 says, "Before me no God was formed, and nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Saviour." You get it? There's no other God but him. And when we look at that passage that Philip, you read? Yeah. Hebrews 10, verse 11 to 23. It's one of my favorite passages. I get so much, you know, so much strength from it. What does it say? I've got more detail here, but I'm just going to give you the bullet points. Jesus' sacrifice for our sins is permanent. Full stop, the end, permanent. He promises to change us to be what he wants us to be. We can be confident to approach God because of Jesus. And you know what? We should be confident, and that means we should live our lives with that hope. My question for the Christians who are here tonight, and I'd love it if all of you are Christians, but I don't know where you're at and, you know, in what you're thinking about God, but on that last point, we should be confident and we should live our lives by that hope. I want to challenge the Christians who are here tonight. Are you really living that hope, or is your relationship with Jesus an intellectual one? Is it just here? I want to encourage you to give more of yourself, make yourself more vulnerable to God. The more we do that, the more he will honor it and bless us. So you know what? My hope, this is the end, just in case you're nodding off. My hope for all of you who are here tonight is this, that you would experience Jesus the way I have. You might say, "That's well and good, Nigel, but you don't know me." And you know what? You're right. But Jesus does. I pray that he would keep you from the pain that you don't need, and that he would finish the work that he's doing in your life to bring you into a perfect relationship with him, one where you know his peace and assurance. And if you are ready tonight to accept his love for you, and you can see just how much he does and will continue to love you, then I'd like you to pray with me now. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you that you make clear to us how much we mean to you, especially in your death on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin, but also the way that you persist with us day to day in spite of our faults. Thank you that we can now come to you confidently and that we can count on you to look out for our best interests. Forgive us for the wrong that we do. We need your love. We need you to take hold of our lives. Help us to not be proud, but to bring anything to you, trusting in your care and peace for our future. Amen.